Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39. Last week in our studies, we watched as Joseph was sold into slavery to the Egyptian, who was an officer to Pharaoh and captain of the guard. We learned that God was with Joseph and blessed him in ways that only God could bless. We learned that being a slave was never a good thing, but being Potiphar's slave came with great benefits. Potiphar saw that Joseph was a blessed man, and took full advantage of those blessings. He made Joseph master over all that he owned. And God made all of these things Joseph was master over prosper greatly. Excuse me. There were but two things that Potiphar did not give Joseph charge over: his daily choices of food and his wife. Potiphar's wife soon became too much to handle as she tried to get him to sleep with her on multiple occasions. And Joseph refused all offers as he could not do such evil thing and sin against God. Tonight we'll see what happens when Joseph will not give in to Potiphar's wife. So let's look, we're going to pick up in verse 10, Genesis chapter 39, verse 10. Although she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her. Now one day, he went into the house to do his work, and none of the household servants were there. She grabbed him by his garment and said, "Sleep with me." But leaving his garment in her hand, he escaped and ran outside. When she realized that he had left his garment with her and had run outside, she called the household servants. "Look," she said to them, "my husband brought a Hebrew man to us to make fun of us. He came to me so he could sleep with me, and I screamed as loud as I could. When he heard me screaming for help, he left his garment with me and ran outside." She put Joseph's garment beside her until the master came home. When she told him the same story, "The Hebrew slave you brought to us came to me to make fun of me, but when I screamed for help, he left his garment with me and ran outside." When his master heard this story, his wife told him, "These are the things your slave did to me." He was furious and had him thrown into prison, where the king's prisoners were confined. So Joseph was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him. He granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. The warden put all the prisoners who were in the prison under Joseph's authority, and he was responsible for everything that was done there. The warden did not bother with anything under Joseph's authority, because God was with him, and the Lord made everything that he did successful. Let's pray. Lord, as we come to you tonight, we thank you for this day. And we thank you for how you bless us, Lord. And Lord, I don't know what I'd be without your word in my life. So Lord, with that understanding, we thank you for this scripture. Lord, we thank you for the lesson that it's going to teach us and the lesson that it has taught us. Help us, Lord, to see ourselves tonight as we go through this scripture. In Jesus' name I do pray. And all God's children said, amen. Y'all please forgive me. I'm sorry. I'm trying to cover my mic when I cough, but I apologize. What do we see in Scripture, in tonight's Scripture? Number one, we first see in verse 10, a relentless woman. A relentless woman. Guys, listen to me. Y'all need to be careful of relentless women. You do. Girls, y'all need to be careful of relentless men. You need to be careful. Our scripture tonight tells us that day after day, this woman pursued Joseph to have relations with her. Now, what does this say about this woman? What does it say about this woman, this married woman? It tells us that this woman was not satisfied. Her husband was not satisfying her, and that her husband was not enough to satisfy her. All three of these problems can be looked at as scriptural, spiritual problems. Church, if God created one person specifically for you, then what that means is that that person is the only person who will ever satisfy you, not just physically, but in all realms of life. This woman was not satisfied. If the truth were completely told in our scripture tonight, she was not satisfied in many aspects of her life. All we see is her physical dissatisfaction. If we stopped right here and I asked the question, what can we do to make sure this isn't us? That we're not the person. Because listen, we live in America, y'all. Y'all watch TV, you see, you hear all the rumors. I mean, you hear all the things that have taken place in your sphere of influence with couples. You hear everything, all the sordid details. This, what we're talking about here tonight, this activity, this happened to some friends of Amy and ours just in the past 2 weeks. What can we say is the problem? Can we say that one of the spouses wasn't satisfied? Well, yeah. Was the other spouse satisfied? Well, I don't know. We just don't know. When we look at all of the issue and everything boils down to, can I tell you something? One person or both persons isn't satisfied with somebody, and it's really not the other spouse. They're not satisfied with Jesus. If Jesus was enough, that wouldn't happen. If they were walking with Jesus, that never would happen. If they were totally satisfied and completely fulfilled with their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that wouldn't happen. Y'all with me? But it happened. We can also, with little thought, come to a reasonable conclusion that this woman was promiscuous and uninhibited. Well, what I'm saying here is that it is most likely that Joseph was not her only target. He was the target we now see and we know about, but there are likely to have been others before Joseph came into her life. Brother Kyle, how in the world can you come up with such a conclusion as this? She might have been a wonderful woman. Church, Joseph was a household slave. A slave. Potiphar's wife was propositioning a slave. Well, you might think, well, Brother Kyle, last week Scripture told us that Joseph was a well-built and handsome man, just like me and you, Griffin, right? True. But church, he was a slave. He was a slave. This was a boundary that you just was not crossed, especially with a woman who was connected to the house of Pharaoh. He held the power of life and death in his hand. Church, this was a very dangerous woman. Y'all pay attention. This was a very dangerous woman. Many times when you hear stories of a spouse cheating, you will hear excuse like, I had too much to drink, or I was drunk and made a bad choice. Tonight we see a relentless woman who is fully aware of exactly what she is doing, which makes her that much more dangerous. Well, what do we see here, church? What do we need to see? We as Christians need to stay away from dangerous people. We need to stay away from dangerous people. There has been in every single ministry that I've been, apart from Chevis Oaks Baptist Church, and I mean it could happen tomorrow, but in every single ministry that I have been a part of, there has been a woman who has made me feel uncomfortable. Jeff, you know what I do? I tell my wife. Why in the world do you do that? She'll hate that woman, no. This is our pact. When you see this woman coming and talk to me and isolate me and you know, really talk, I said, come and get me out of that. Why? Because I know it's dangerous. I know how dangerous it is. I know how dangerous this situation is. I know human nature. I know men. I know women. I know, listen, when you find yourself in a dangerous position with a dangerous person, you better tell somebody and you better register it within your mind that this person is dangerous and I don't need to be around them on a daily basis. You don't have to be mean and hateful to them and say, look, you're a dangerous person. You're a promiscuous, uninhibited person. You don't have to do that at all. You really don't. But when you see them, you need to go the other way. Well, Brother Kyle, I thought we were supposed to be a witness. You can be a witness. And let me tell you something. You're saving your witness by doing that. Because when you give into this kind of temptation, you lose your witness. And it takes almost forever to get it back. Now, we see this woman's plan unfold in verses 11 through 16. You've all heard that, and some of you may very well have experienced the saying, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. Any of y'all experienced that before? I have. What this means is that when a woman gets riled up, you had better stay out of her way. You better stay out of her way. Women have an uncanny way of thinking up some pretty messed up ways of dealing with you when you cross their sometimes invisible lines. And this woman tonight is one of those very women. Joseph had crossed an invisible line, and he didn't even know about it. Desi, he had no clue. I mean, he just kept turning her down, Brother Frank. Nope, not interested, not interested. Well, he'd crossed the line, and he had no clue that he'd crossed the line. Joseph had turned her down many, many times, and this was the day that she would get her way. Verse 11 tells us that one day Joseph went into the house, as he did every other day, to do his work, and there were no other household slaves present. Brother Craig, he should have looked around and said, something ain't right here. Y'all ever walked into a room and you're just like, eh, something's not right here. Something's just not right. Well, Joseph might have should have that day. It's not known for sure as to why he was alone, but many scholars believe that this woman had released them of their duty or had them somewhere else for the very reason to have Joseph alone. Now get this, Joseph walks into work. Cameron, just like he did every day, walks into work. And usually he walks in and he sees, you know, Susie over there straightening the flowers and Barney over there washing dishes and somebody sweeping the floor. And he walks in just, you know, whistling and there's nobody there. He was all alone. And then out of the corner of her eye, he sees Potiphar's wife walking in the door. Well, what can we learn from this tonight? You don't ever need to be alone with the opposite sex. Well, Brother Kyle, I'm not going to do anything. Yeah, but who's to say that the other person won't? You don't need to be alone with the opposite sex by yourself. You do not ever need to be alone. Can you believe that, Steve, I had to tell a pastor this one time? I was his youth pastor. And there was a lady in our church, in our community, and she was a drug addict. And she was known to sell herself to get money to buy drugs. And she came to the church and she said, can you give me a ride to downtown so I can get some groceries? Well, sure. And I had to talk to my pastor and say, Pastor, that's not smart. You don't ever put yourself in a position where you can be accused of anything. Really and truly, this would have been a great time when Joseph walks into this house to do his daily work. He looks around Jeff and he doesn't see anybody in there. And out of the corner of his eye, he sees the woman who's been soliciting him coming towards him. That might have been the best place for him to run. But he didn't. He didn't. We see in the later part of verse 12 what we all should do when we face sinful temptations. Hold on one second. Nope, we need to go back. Something must have been very different about this proposition. When she propositioned him this time, something had to be different. Something had to be different. As we've said several times, Potiphar's wife has asked Joseph over and over again that he would always say no. Verse 12 tells us that she grabbed him this time by his garment and said, "Sleep with me." It may be that she was doing things to persuade Joseph that she'd never done before. It may be that she was dressed provocatively. It could be that she started to take off his clothes, or it could be that she had just this look in her eye. But we see, a very different response from Joseph tonight than we've ever seen in all the other scriptures. Something was different. When you see something is different, you better take notice. When a person is aggressive towards you in any way, not just physically, but when they're aggressive towards you in any way, it escalates. And if you watch this, if we could watch just like on TV, watch it unfold, I assure you that her suggestions towards Joseph, they escalated greater and greater and greater and greater and greater until this time she grabbed him. Now, we see in the latter part of verse 12 what we should all do when we face sinful temptations in our lives. We see Joseph escaped and ran. Now, considering the word escape and knowing that Joseph did escape before something more happened, we need to know that God gives us all a way to escape any sin that we encounter in our lives. He always gives us an escape plan. We must live our lives in such a way that we recognize the need to escape, and when that time comes, we do not callously walk away from the sin. We run. We run. We don't walk. We run away from it. Church, what we are seeing here tonight is Joseph transitioning from asking the question seen in verse 9b, how could I do such a great evil and sin against God, to proclaiming with his actions that I will not do such a great evil and the sin against my God. Did you see it? What should we do when we face these types of temptations? We should run. Why should we run? Listen, everybody's going to experience what's taking place here at some point in time or another. And I still vividly remember guys in the locker room talking about girls in the school years ago. And some guy, I don't know who it was, but I can still hear it ringing in my voice. You don't buy a car without test driving it. That's not scriptural, people. It's not scriptural at all. What's the difference? Your trust in Jesus. Your trust in Jesus. The world will tell you you're missing out on something. Jesus will say, I have something much better for you. The world will say, listen, you're missing out on an experience. Jesus will tell you, I am that experience. God is not trying to hide anything from you. Satan will always tell you that you're missing something. Listen, Savannah, you're missing something. You're missing something. No, you're not. When you give into that temptation, you're missing something. You really are, to a certain degree. You're missing out on all the greatest opportunities that God has waiting for you. And Joseph didn't want to miss out on those opportunities. We see in verses 16 through 18 that now Potiphar's wife is playing the waiting game. And listen, I don't know if y'all have read this in Scripture or not before. Some of y'all have read ahead. But there should be some red flags. And I'll say that here in a second. This just doesn't make sense. Verse 16 tells us that she puts Joseph's garments beside her and waited until her husband came home. Didn't call the palace guards. Didn't call for a court with Pharaoh. Didn't do any of that. She grabbed his clothes and set them beside her until her husband came home. This to me would have been a red flag moment that I'm being told a lie. I'm just here to tell you that if a man propositioned Amy Wydell forcing himself on her, she's going to do three things very quickly. Number one, she's going to beat whoever it is until her arms falls off or they run away. Amen. Number two, or someone comes to rescue her. Number two, she is then going to call the police right then. The very next thing she'll do is she's going to call me. Did you see in this scripture tonight that she set the clothes beside her and waited all day until her husband came home? Does that make sense? This woman waited all day until her husband came home. I would have been very skeptical if she would have not have sent for me immediately when Potiphar, when this took place. Now, church, when Potiphar does come home and hears the story, he believes her and has Joseph thrown in jail. It's his wife. The story is, I mean, we don't see that he questions Joseph. He looks into it whatsoever at all. He believes every word that she says and has Joseph thrown in jail. You know, it makes me wonder, she was open with all her advances. I wonder if any of the other slaves saw this. Any of the household workers, anybody who worked in the house saw this. But Potiphar didn't question. He just had Joseph thrown in jail. It almost sounds like a prideful thing, doesn't it? We see in verse 21 through 23 that God is still with Joseph. Church, if there was just one thing I wish that I could help all Christians understand fully. If there was one thing, one issue that I wish I could help myself to remember at all times, it's this. That it does not matter where you find yourself, God is always with us. It doesn't matter whether you have put yourself in a bad position or situation, or if you are just struggling with every day-to-day life, God is with us. He sees us and He will provide for us if we will just be faithful to Him and obedient to Him, waiting and trusting Him. Church, what does it take to be a person, to be this person, to be obedient and faithful to Jesus? What does it take to be this person? What do we have to give? What do we have to invest? We have to be satisfied with Jesus. You know, if you look at all the problems that people face in the world, not just in America, but in the world, the things they get themselves into, the things they buy into, it'll all boil down to this one question. Were you satisfied with Jesus? Because if you were satisfied with Jesus, you wouldn't be doing what you're doing. Would you? If this woman would have known God and been satisfied with God, do you think we'd be listening to this story tonight? No, we wouldn't. Church, what would you do if you were faced with the circumstances that Joseph was faced with tonight? You have a guide to succeed if you'll follow and do as Joseph did in our scripture tonight. Let's all stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your instruction. We thank you, Lord, that even the book of Genesis is applicable to the days that we live in. Lord, you are in every verse of scripture in the Bible. And you scream out to us every time we open it, return to me, come to me, follow me. Help us to be mindful of that tonight and come back to you, come to you and follow you. Be obedient to you, and Lord, be satisfied in you. In Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come this evening?